भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 83 द्रौपदी मीट्स द क्वींस ऑफ कृष्णा टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। श्री रुक्मिणी उवाच चैद्यायमार्पयितुम् उद्यतकार्मकेषु चैद्यायमार्पयितुम् उद्यतकार्मकेषु राजस्व अजेय भट शेखरिताङ्घ्रिरेणु राजस्व अजेय भट शेखरिताङ्घ्रिरेणु निन्ने मृगेन्द्र इव भागम् अजावियूथात् तश्रीनिकेतचरणोऽस्तु ममार्चनाय श्रीरुक्मिणी उवाच चैद्यायमार्पयितुम् उद्यतकार्मुकेषु राजस्वाजय भटशेखरिताङ्घ्रिरेणु निन्ने मृगेन्द्र इव भागम् अजावियूथात् तश्रीनिकेतचरणोऽस्तु ममार्चनाय श्री रुक्मिणी उवाच चैद्यायमार्पयितुम् युद्धतकार्मुकेषु राजस्वजय भटशेखरिताङ्घ्रिरेणु निन्ने मृगेन्द्र इव भागम् अजावियूथात् तश्रीनिकेतचरणोऽस्तु ममार्चनाय word by word meaning Shri Rukmini Vacha. Shri Rukmini said Chaidyaya to Shishupad, Ma me Arpaitum, in order to offer, Udyata, holding at the ready, Karmukeshu, whose bows, Rajasu, when the kings, Ajaya, invincible, Bhata, of soldiers, Shekharita, place upon the heads, Angri, of whose feet, Renu, the dust, Ninni, he took away, Mrugendra, a lion, Eva, as if, Bhagam, his share, Aja, of goats, Avi, and ship, Yuthat, from a group, Tat, of him, Shri, of the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, Niketa, who is the abode, Charana, the feet, Astu, maybe, Mama, my, Archanaya, for the worship. Translation and purport. Translation: Shri Rukmini said, when all the kings held their bows at the ready to assure that I would be presented to Shishupal, He who puts the dust of his feet on the heads of invincible warriors took me from their midst, as a lion forcibly takes his prey from the midst of goats and sheep. May I always be allowed to worship those feet of Lord Krishna, the abode of Goddess Sri. Purport. Lord Krishna's pastime of kidnapping Rukmini is narrated in detail in chapters 52 through 54 of the Srimad Bhagavatam's 10th canto. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobheshtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaom Vishnapadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Chagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vescha Krupa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Kaurabhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this chapter we see that Draupadi is meeting the queens of Lord Krishna, and she is inquiring about them. So Draupadi, she met so many queens of Lord Krishna after many, many years at this place when everyone had gathered. And it appears that she did not know the details of their marriages, how they were married. She might have heard that Lord Krishna married so many wives, so many princesses, but the details might not be known to her. And for so many years, it's amazing, but some other communication may be different at the time. Certain things are not explained or communicated in that way. In today's world, we get restless if we don't get communicated within few minutes or hours. But to have that kind of patience is quite amazing. And most of the things were very personal that time. personal communication, word to word, person to person. And it was a very joyous occasion that after so many years she's able to meet so many wonderful, beautiful ladies, queens of Lord Krishna. And usually in the material world, the ladies mostly discuss about marriages, how, when are you going to marry, or these are the most important topic amongst their discussions, because everything centers around that. So this news of marriage after so many years in today's world could have been a very old story. But now we are discussing about marriage after so many, it's an old story. Discuss something new, something which is more fresh and exciting. But to go back after so many years, and when they had their children, grandchildren married, and still we are discussing about their own marriages, that's quite astonishing. But of course we understand that this is not a mundane subject matter. It's related with Lord Krishna. So therefore it is Krishna Katha. It is not an ordinary activity, or it was not a just ordinary marriage. All these queens, they were discussing about how Lord Krishna very brilliantly won their hands. And he defeated so many opponents. Sometimes there was bloodshed during the marriage. It was common, quite common those days. Kshatriya marriages, Rakshasa type of marriages. And these memories were quite vivid in their minds. They could not forget that how Lord Krishna came in their lives and saved them from really great calamity. And the first queen, Rukmini, whom Lord Krishna married, here purport is just saying that Lord Krishna's pastime of kidnapping Rukmini is narrated in detail in chapters 52 through 54 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. So three chapters are completely devoted for the marriage of Rukmini to Krishna. First marriage of Lord Krishna, it's very important. And it was not that there was divorce that time. Krishna could maintain so many wives, and after so many years everyone was living very peacefully, harmoniously, without any fights or complaints. It would have been quite historical in today's age, something happens like that. The marriage is maintained for so many years. That's a big thing. And of course in today's world, they're not allowed to marry more than one wife. Some religious, other religions, they may allow, but still there are a lot of challenges. It's not easy thing, isn't it? Just to maintain one marriage is a big, big tapasya. So Krishna could maintain. Therefore, a Supreme Personality of God, he could give one palace to each queen, and they could live very harmoniously. Nobody is thinking that I am superior than others. It is not that when Krishna goes to some palace, he gets the complaints from other queens. See what she is doing. She took away my flowers, or she took away my worship paraphernalia, or something like that. That was not the complaint Krishna was hearing every time. They were having a big tough time otherwise. But everyone is trying to glorify each other. Everyone is praising each other. Everyone is trying to become servant of the servant of each other. Everyone is trying to become more focused on their own services. So that was the consciousness. They were maintaining. And therefore, we can see that there was so much of harmony. And that kind of consciousness is very much required in today's world. We can see that there is so much disharmony in this today's world because we are so much disconnected from our own selves, with our surroundings, environment, and people around us. How we are disconnected from ourselves. First of all, we don't know who we are. We think that we are these material bodies. And everything is centered around that material body. That is the first problem. We have forgotten that we are the spirit souls. That is the fundamental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. The very beginning, we are not this material body, we are spirit souls. And Lord Krishna says that this is confidential knowledge. To understand who we really are. Theoretically we understand that we are not this material body, we are spirit souls. But outside if we look at the world, people have forgotten who they are. There is so much identity crisis in this material world. And therefore, people are disconnected from their own selves. And everything is centered around this body. And one thinks that this body can remain eternal. That is another illusion. Once we identify with this body, and we think that this body is going to remain eternal, that is the biggest illusion. Although we see that we are growing old, we are getting disease, and sometime it is going to end. We see so many people around us, but still we think that no, maybe an exception would be done for me, right? Exception, I would be an exception. But those of material world act upon everyone equally. So when one has this knowledge, then one comes to the most realistic platform. One tries to understand this philosophy in a most practical way. And one tries to focus on the higher things because the spiritual consciousness, the higher consciousness, elevates us to the higher levels. The body may die, but our real self will not die. And one should make inquiry about our real own self. Who am I? What is going to happen to me after death? Am I going to suffer in this material world because of the laws of material nature? I'm going to transmigrate from one species to another? Or will I be liberated from the cycle of birth and death? Will I go back home, back to Godhead eternally, never to come back? These are the relevant queries one should have after achieving the human form of life. So, that is theoretical. And how we are disconnected with our environment? Because we have forgotten that our existence depends upon the environment surrounding us. We need air to breathe, water to drink, and food to survive. Basic needs which are provided by this material nature. The air we breathe, the pure air is supplied by the trees. We have a lot of connection. If we start cutting the trees, our existence will be in stake. Because the trees, they convert the impure air, carbon dioxide, and give us the fresh oxygen. As any technology is developed, which any machine which takes lot of carbon dioxide and gives us fresh air. Any technology, any engineering which takes all the polluted air and gives us fresh air without any contamination or harming nature. It's not happening. But we can see that nature's technology is so wonderful that without any cost, it is happening naturally. Every day it's a big surprise, it's a big magic of this material nature. And nature has given us that so easily. And we forget that our existence really depends on that, and we try to intrude, we try to invade this material nature, thinking that maybe this is a technological advancement. We need land to live, and water, we need water. When it was not raining a few days before it, we are getting more restless. And how water is supplied by nature, that's a big wonder. So in this we can understand that there is a huge connection between our existence, our real self, the surrounding, the environment, and the people around us. Because we are not alone in this material world. Our existence depends upon other people also. So are we harmony with each other? Are our thoughts, our actions are harmonious with each other when we decide to come together and serve in one family or in one community? Are we living harmoniously? So therefore, there have to be so many rules, regulations, guidelines to bring people on the harmonious level in this material world. Even in ordinary organization, if it has to function properly, the rules have to be defined. One has to act in this particular way. One should be punctual. One should do his duties very properly. And that is the meaning of yoga. Yesterday was a yoga day. We're trying to connect. Yoga means to connect. If we do not understand our real self, then how we are going to connect with the Supreme? So therefore, there is so much of need, so much of great attention we need to exhibit our duties so that we bring that harmony in this material world. And here we can see that all these queens of Lord Krishna, they were living very harmoniously. Why? Because Krishna was there in the center. There was no fights. They were always thinking of how to serve Lord Krishna. And there was no competition. Otherwise, in this one, even spiritual organization, sometimes one, there is so much of competition and so many different types of people and different types of egos. And although the philosophy is very highest, divine, it can bring us to the highest level immediately. But still, we think that if that one devotee is not there, then my life will become more peaceful. Isn't it? Everyone has somebody in the mind. That one devotee is just troubling me like anything. And he's a pinprick. And we just, while chanting, while doing all our activities, our consciousness is completely hovering around that. Focus on that. So instead of getting benefited by the process, we are actually causing harm to our own self. Because creating such kind of negative feelings or thoughts about other devotees can really harm us. So, practicing Krishna consciousness is simple, simple for the simple. But if one is not very careful, it can really disturb one's own self. And one will, maybe so many years even one may practice, still one will not get the exact result. One will think that, why? Still what I want I'm not getting. Even in Krishna consciousness, that feeling may come. Still I have to put a lot of efforts to sideline somebody or push somebody down and go up. All that materialistic thought may come if we are not careful. Otherwise, process is very simple. Become humble. Become servant of the servant. Remain focused on your service. But sometimes it is so difficult. Becoming servant of the servant is more difficult than building another temple. One thinks that I cannot cooperate with this devotee. Maybe I should go away and have my own extension center or temple where I am the main personality. Krishna is there, but everyone knows who am I. So that kind of thoughts may come, and sometimes Krishna may fulfill also that. But one must know that it is not that I am running a temple or I am running a department or because of I am some services going on. In fact, it should be other way around. Because of temple I am getting some service. Because of department I am running. Not I am running the department, but department is running me. So that has to be fine-tuned. That because of service I am existing. Because of chanting I am getting purified. It's not that I am chanting. Chanting is purifying me. Not that I am speaking Bhagavatam, but Bhagavatam vibrations are so powerful that they are purifying me personally and hopefully everyone. So That is required to convince our own self that I am very insignificant. My existence is nothing in this whole materialistic cosmic manifestation. Yesterday, His Grace Krishnachandrapu was explaining how there are so many universes, so many planets in one universe. There is one small planet of name Earth, and in that planet we are existing somewhere, and we think that I am the great. So that is the greatest ego one may have. So therefore, one has to become more focused on the service. That service is so important, and it should be done in a proper consciousness. There may be difficulties, there may be austerities, and sometimes service in charge may be behind us to do service. And it, in one sense it is good, but somebody is reminding us, do your service, become responsible in this life. But sometimes service in charge appears like a Yamaduta. Why is coming us behind me? I'm disturbing my own privacy. Why is asking me to go for book distribution or do some service in the temple? He doesn't know who I am. So, anyway, I'm just telling my story. It's not that I'm reading somebody's mind. So, here Rukmini Devi, when Draupadi inquired about her, then immediately first thing came in her mind was how Lord Krishna saved her. Because that was the greatest anxiety for Rukmini Devi. She had heard about Lord Krishna from many sages, those who were visiting the palace, Srila Narada Muni and many other saintly people, those who were coming. She was hearing about Lord Krishna attentively, and she was getting purified. And she was, of course, eternal consort of Lord Krishna. So she wanted to marry Lord Krishna. And she knew that only Krishna is the only worthy person in this whole existence. And she had taken a great risk of writing one letter to Lord Krishna. When Krishna was fighting with Jarasandha, Jarasandha was attacking Mathura. 17 times Lord Krishna defeated Jarasandha. 23 Aukshani signed soldiers. Every time Jarasandha was defeated, humiliated, all his armies were killed and he was sent back. And if we look at the age difference, Jarasandha was as good as Lord Krishna's grandfather. Because Krishna's uncle was Kansa, and Kansa's father-in-law was Jarasandha. Isn't it logical? So he was as good as Krishna's grandfather. And still, he was getting defeated every time. And every time Krishna was releasing him, go. Because he wanted to gather more people and bring, and Krishna could kill them. Paritrana sadhuna vinashachu dushkritam. And he was going, and every time he was getting depressed, and other people were just convincing him, maybe you lost this time, but don't lose hope. There is always, time is not favorable to you. Krishna himself is time, but sometimes the philosophy is applied in different time, place, circumstances. So he was convincing him that time is not favorable to you. You have good chance of winning next time. And he was more hopeful. And 18th time when Lord was attacked by Jarasandha, Jarasandha again came and he was coming, attacking, and Lord Krishna at the 18th time he was running away from the battlefield. There were internal reason was he wanted to attain the confidential letter sent by Rukmani through one Brahmana. Krishna could understand that this Brahmana is coming to Dwarka and I have to attend to him because he is bringing some important message. That was more important than fighting with this Jarasandha. And definitely it has gone in history that Krishna has run away from the battlefield. Therefore his name is Ranchod. Ranchod Rai, so many temples in Gujarat. And Krishna was ready to accept that kind of defamy. He knew that people will try to criticize and Jarasandha also may feel little bit jubilation that yes, now he has run away. Just look at this. They are just coward boys. Who are they in front of me? They are simply boys. Run away. They ran away. And I am chasing them. And he was chasing them like anything. They were running away. And they were chasing. And Krishna and Balram, they went on big mountain, Pravarshan. It was 88 miles high mountain. Both of them, they started climbing. And he was chasing them. And they climbed on the top and he could not find them. And then he thought that maybe they are so scared of me. They don't want to face me now. They are defeated. He just took it for granted. They are gone now. And just to make sure that they are dead, he put fire around this big mountain. He wanted to ensure that these two boys, they don't survive. That was envious attitude. And he put a big fire around this mountain. The whole mountain was set ablaze. And then he was thinking that now they are dead and I am victorious. I am now, finally I have won the final match. The final match is important. Some other I reach quarterfinals, semi-final, and finally some other last moment, last ball. So that was a great victory for Jarasandha. And he went thinking that he has killed Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna can put somebody in illusion like anything. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. Mudoyam nabhijanat mamebhya paramavyam. So Krishna wants to delude somebody. Krishna doesn't want to reveal his own self to somebody. One may try so much, but Krishna cannot be understood. Because without Krishna's mercy, one cannot understand Krishna. So Krishna and Balaram, they jump from that mountain. 88 miles, huge mountain. Probably the first skydive. Today's world also people, they want to dive. Skydives, they go on that plane and just dive over a big mountain and just fly in the sky. Of course they need to have parachutes with them. They cannot take big risk. And Krishna and Balaram, they were flying in the sky and just finally landed very smoothly and came to Dwarka. Unhurt, without any damage, any injuries, not that bones were broken or something. Very light. Very lightly they could landed. And Balaram was married at that time, it is said. He married to Revati. And then this Brahmana came with this letter of Rukmini. And this Brahmana was allowed to enter because Krishna is Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahman Hitayacha. Is worshipped by the best of the Brahmanas. So Brahmanas were allowed to meet. So when he read that letter, he understood that it's an emergency, he cannot wait. And from Dwarka, within one night, almost 12 hours, Srila Prabhupada writes that, they came to Vidarbha, Kundina, where marriage was going to happen. Krishna could ride that chariot so fast. 4 horses, Shaibya, Sugriva, Megapushpa, Balahak, Daruka driver. The chariot had a flag with the emblem of Garuda. So Krishna could drive, Daruka could drive and come to this place in the city of Kundinapur where this marriage ceremony was going to happen. The whole city was decorated. All the people were so much in jubilation. They were given fresh clothes. They were dressed nicely and they were just so much of festive occasion. Everyone was ready. And all the princes had gathered. Even Jarasandha was there to ensure that nothing casualty happens at the last moment. Because still they had some fear, because somebody forgets Krishna, there is always fear. They were remembering Krishna in a very negative way, envious way. So therefore there was also fear that he may come and disturb the plan. So Shishupal, Jarasandha, so many other princes, they were ready. Damaghosh, Shishupal's father, he was by his name, Damaghosh, makes somebody subdued. He was ready with his armies, and although it was a marriage occasion, it was appearing that it could be a fight any time, and he was ready for that. He was moving around with his soldiers and big commanders in chief. Marriage, it's a marriage, but it's a lot of security, security concerns. So, and Krishna reach there, Krishna Balaram, they reach. And of course, Bhishmaka, he welcomed both of them. And Rukmini had written exactly what is a proper time, what is a proper spot, everything. She had given her heart to Lord Krishna. So, at the time, she had just worshipped Goddess Durga and just coming out of the temple. And she was just going and looking at her, so many princes, they were falling from their horses and elephants, fainting, looking at Rukmini's beauty. And they were like, couldn't understand it, tuck, 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 they're falling. And Krishna at that time, he took that opportunity and kidnapped Rukmini. He came with his chariot, put Rukmini on the chariot and just ran away. Just like the lion takes away the prey in the midst of goats and sheep. He doesn't care. Lion, when he comes, he doesn't care for these small, small animals. So Krishna was like a lion. He came in the midst of so many big, big giants. And Krishna just took it very easily. And at the time, they first of all could not understand what is happening. Suddenly they came to consciousness, external material consciousness, not Krishna consciousness. They understood something is happening, something which we don't want, that is happening. They just understood, they became alert. Oh, is Krishna is taking away. Krishna is taking away Rukmini. And they just came to their senses. And they came, they started running behind Krishna. Of course, Balaram was there to defeat everyone. Balaram just defeated everyone. Suddenly, there were piles of hands, thighs, and all the bloodshed and of chariots and all these just. And Krishna ran away. I mean, Krishna just went away. So that's a big story. There are two more chapters, but time is ending. So that was the Rukmini's thought. That was the first impression kind of thing. Krishna kept coming in her own lives. How Krishna saved her. And there are so many other incidents in her lives. Krishna teased her. Krishna tested her like anything. But still she did not give up his service. And her consciousness was always to serve Lord Krishna. It is not that now it's enough. It's enough now. Now let me have my own time. She is telling that my consciousness, I am allowed, maybe I always be allowed to worship those feet of Lord Krishna, the abode of Goddess Sri. That's her consciousness. So therefore she is so much fixed in serving Lord Krishna. So therefore Srila Prabhupada writes that one should have the determination of Rukmini Devi to achieve Krishna consciousness. It's not an easy thing. Speaking is easy, practicing is very difficult. So therefore one has to develop that consciousness, pray to such great souls. These are not ordinary material activities. These are highest level of surrender. So therefore when we pray to them, that we are allowed to serve them in the mood of servant of the servant. Srila Prabhupada has built these temples where one can practice this Krishna consciousness in the mood of servant of the servant of the servant. Then maybe one day, sometime, Krishna may be pleased. And one moment he may give some taste of what you are doing for years and years. So one should be hankering for that drop of mercy. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. मंत्र श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय